Hello and welcome to the 12th episode of Company of One. This is Del Callahan. I'm your host here. Hopefully I'm your educator. In this particular show, we're going to talk about public speaking. But in this podcast in general, what we deal with is we deal with a subject about responsibility. Not responsibility in a specific, a global sense, but a responsibility in terms of you and I taking responsibility for our career, for our income, for our earning power. You know, if I was still in the corporate world, or when I was in the corporate world, you kind of get sick, or I got sick, of letting other people and circumstances control what happened to me. It wasn't the system's fault. It was my fault for not taking responsibility for my own career, for my own income. So often that's what we do. We settle back and we allow it to happen to us. We wait for an arbitrary pay grade changes, or you know, we get that 1 or 2% pay raise, if at all, which in many cases is not. But it's happening to us instead of us being in control. This show is about you taking back control. In this particular show today, we're going to talk about a subject: public speaking, how to make a presentation. This is one of the subjects that many people struggle with, and especially since a great part of my audience is people that happen to be technical corporate people of, and I use the word technical meaning all kinds of technologies and even finance people having technical skill sets. But making presentations just freaks people out. And maybe it should, because if you're like me and you sit through lots of presentations, many of them, you just want to run. It's terrible, terrible they're presenting. And anytime somebody comes in with a PowerPoint deck and presents something, it makes you want to get up and beat the daylights out of the computer, because they just do a lousy job. And so when we get up there and we have to speak and we have to present in public, many of us, it's a very terrifying event. I mean, the stats used to say that people are more terrified of public speaking than they are of death. I don't know if that's true or not, but I remember many times being terrified of having to speak in public. So we're going to deal with that, but what I'm going to deal with is some very common sense stuff. I do a lot of public speaking, being a faculty member, that was almost a daily thing, but now I do public speaking outside the university at least weekly, sometimes every day of the week, and sometimes multiple times a day. You know, my speaking schedule has been very tremendous. I love it. But I still suffer from some of the problems and some of the things and nuances that we're going to talk about. But I've discovered some things that really work. You know, I think I'm pretty good at it based upon feedback. So I'm going to share with you some of the things that I do. But before we get into that, let's make a quick shout out to our friends at Christian Freedom Network. If you're listening to this on Blog Talk Radio, you're part of Christian Freedom Network. You know, I guess that's not a shout out. It's a shout in, because we're part of that. We're part of that show, part of that network that's being set up on Blog Talk Radio. We thank you for those people that are involved, and I know there's lots of volunteer hands that are getting some things done there. Thank you for listening and taking part in that. And of course, I do this also on iTunes. So you may be listening to this as a podcast on iTunes. And you can find that and the details from that on iTunes under Company of One, or going to my site at dalecallahan.com, and you'll find the various podcasts there. They're sent in as blogs. And we do the podcast every Tuesday. My blog post goes out every Thursday. The podcast goes out every Tuesday. So let's, with that said, maybe it's time that we should just jump right into the subject for the day. And as we jump into that subject for the day, let's think about what that is. Again, how to make a presentation, how to make an effective presentation. You know, that was what I was going to title this, how to make an effective presentation, but I realize the reality that a lot of times when we're being asked to make a presentation, we are just freaked out. We're not worried about effective. We're worried about over with. Can I get out of this? I have gotten out of some presentations just because I was scared to death, didn't want to do them. And I managed to finagle my way around getting out of them where I did not have to do it. Call me chicken. But that's what I've done. Looking back, I think it's something I really enjoy making presentations. I'm not real sure why. I am that shy person. I am that introverted person. But it seems to be something that I don't know. It works for me. But it's taken a while to work for me. And even though I do enjoy it, and even when I begin to enjoy it, there was times where before I had to make a presentation, before it was my turn to get up and make a presentation, I remember distinctly in many cases being sitting in a room and you feel like you can't breathe. You're not going to be able to get up there and do this. Your heart's racing. You're looking for a way out. I'm looking at the door. I'm running into an anxiety attack, not figuratively, literally. So you're trying to deal with that, and then usually as a presentation begins, that's gone almost immediately. Almost immediately, every single time. Now, I've had some cases where during a presentation it's come back up, but that's pretty rare. Even then, it seems to go immediately. All the things you fear seem to go immediately. It's almost just jump in and take action. That's easy to say, I recognize. If you're one of these people that fear public speaking, there's really nothing to do but to do it. Things like Toastmasters, excellent because you're around a group of people in Toastmasters who probably either fear presentations or used to fear them and very sympathetic or empathetic, or very understanding, very helpful. Really, there's nothing else to do though, is to start making them. Make them in small groups. Join small Toastmasters groups. Do whatever you have to do to get into this. Because I know the situation. If you're listening to this, you may have found this on Google or something. You may say, I've just been given a speech to do. I've just been given a presentation. My boss has asked me to present some new technology. I may be presenting to 5, 10, 20, 30 people. There may be somebody in the audience that just really freaks me out being there that makes me nervous. It may be, it just could be that I'm speaking to massive amounts of people. I could even feel like my job is on the line because of this. So there's all this nervousness, and it does get out of control. You begin to worry about that. But even if you're beyond that, if you're not, it's not so much nervous. You might say, "How can I be effective? I watch so many boring presentations. I don't want to be like those guys and those gals. How can I be effective? I'm talking about a subject that bores me to dirt. How, or bores me to tears. How can I be effective, and what can I say to make this interesting? Or I just don't want to sound and look like a fool." I remember when I had joined Toastmasters. I hadn't done very many presentations. I kind of enjoyed them though, the ones I did. But I wanted to get better and joined a Toastmasters group for a very, very short time. And the first presentation you make in Toastmasters, hey, and this makes perfect sense, and we'll get to why in a minute. You tell about yourself. You tell about yourself. So it sounds very, you could almost walk up there to the podium or the front of the room or whatever you have in your particular Toastmasters group and just start talking. I mean, they kind of encourage you to prepare. We'll talk about that. But it was so intense for me, I took either a day or a half a day off of work to focus on this talk. I was sweating, I was working, but it wasn't just that I was nervous. I wanted it to be good. I wanted it to be powerful and about me. And I think it actually turned out it was quite interesting what I did. But the point is, it was something that kind of freaked me out because I had to do it and had to do it that way. I'm saying all this to say, in a backdrop scenario, that may be what you're doing here. Maybe you're a more experienced speaker and you're trying to learn some tips and trying to be more effective. Maybe you're trying to get a point across and not to do that. I hope what we're saying here can help you. This presentation is not so much about, or this podcast is not so much about teaching you to get rid of your nervousness and things like that. There's lots of material out there on that. That talk you through some concepts of breathing and things. I'm not really going to focus on that today. I tend to think that if you just focus on the kind of things that we are doing here, it actually gets rid of that. And the main thing is preparation, thinking through what you're going to talk about, which is where I'm going to focus. And I'm going to give you some particular points that I think will set you apart. No, I know they will set you apart. They will set you apart, especially if you are aligned to speak and there's several other people speaking. These things will make you get noticed, even when you're speaking around other people who may be the high-end speaker. For instance, if you're making a presentation and your boss or the boss's boss, you know, some executive vice president is going to be speaking too, you know, everybody's looking forward to hearing them. And maybe they're even a good speaker. How can you get in there and steal the show? Not a way, you know, not in a way that gets fired, but how can you really get yourself noticed in a positive way and set yourself aside? And I'm not talking about being theatrical here. I'm talking about just delivering the content in a powerful way. And even before we get to that, as we're going to talk through this, I'm going to give you a couple of points on how to make a presentation. Let's talk about the why a bit. We've given you a little bit of the backdrop and the situation. Let's talk about why. Because I think you need to know why. If you've been asked to make a presentation and you're saying no, or if you are finding yourself nerve-wracked and wanting to run, or if you're finding yourself saying, you know, I don't care, I'm going to get up there, I'm going to wing it, I'm going to get it over with. I'm going to tell you why I think you want to not only do it, but try to do the best job you can. And that is, number one, leaders are presenters. Now, I don't mean that leaders are outgoing, extroverted things. That's not what I mean. But leaders are idea people, and they present ideas. Even if it's presenting other people's ideas, they're the presenters of the ideas. Now, by no means are all leaders, even good leaders, are all leaders good presenters. So don't sweat it. I mean, some very powerful leaders are really dull and dry when they get up and present material, and you can probably think of some. But that doesn't mean they're not great leaders. But they are presenting information. My point would be, why be dull and dry? So the second thing is, you have influence when you make presentations. Now, granted, if you understand leadership, you understand leadership is mostly about influence. But I want to make it clear, the one who presents gets the influence. It's really shocking how often that you can sit here and you can be in a room full of experts, and you can be in a group of people, or maybe you're just presenting a new idea. The fact that you're presenting it puts you in the expert position. Now, let me say that again. The fact that you're presenting on a subject makes you the expert. Now, you may be presenting on a technology or a system or something that's new to your company or your division or the organization you're working with, and so you're the first to present it, but that makes you now the go-to expert. I know. I've had this happen where I've been asked to present something, a particular technology that was coming into our company, and as I got to present it, And I just tried to do a good, really, I wasn't trying to overwhelm or wow or anything. I just was trying to effectively show people this is what the technology does. It was just kind of a hands on, let me just show you and tell you what this is going to do for us. But by doing so, and doing it fairly simply, we'll talk about that in a minute, you don't want to overwhelm people with complexity. You want to dumb things down to where, okay, we got it. We don't have time to go through your complexity. We've got it. But when you're the one that gets up there and presents something on a technology or tool or a system or a thought, you are the expert and you are the influencer on that. Okay, so two reasons why. Number one, leaders present ideas. And number two, you gain the influence. Number three, now number three is going to maybe shock you a little bit. And this is kind of something I've discovered. As you do the presenting, you get to know people better. Now, and especially if you use some of the tips that I'm going to talk about, it will help you get to know people better and form relationships better, professional and otherwise. Now, that sounds a little odd, but and this is especially true if you tend to be a more introverted person or a shy person. Or, I'm not really, I'm in a room of 100 people or something. I'm not really a handshaking, going around networking type of person. But it's really odd. You can walk into a room and not know anybody and kind of be the wallflower back there in the corner of the room. I am speaking from personal experience, and while you're the wallflower back there in the corner of the room and you're talking on a particular subject, you have experts all over the room talking of their great, powerful expertise. You get up and speak on that subject. Suddenly the dynamics change. Suddenly everybody is looking to you as the expert. Suddenly people want to get to know you. Suddenly they feel like they know you. And because they feel like they know you, they feel like you know them. And especially again, if you follow some of the principles that I'm going to be talking about. It's just really, really amazing. This is probably why I hate networking in the sense of walking around a room and meeting people. But I can get up and give a presentation and meet hundreds of people at one time, have them all know me, relate to me. Most of them, pretty much like what I'm saying, even if they don't totally agree with everything I'm saying. So there's the reason why, and I think that's really important to lay out. You need to be clear, especially if you're nervous about this. Leaders are the presenters. The presenters get the influence, and people get to know you better. And as you do this once or twice, you'll see these things happen. Now, with all that said, that's a lot of backdrop, but I think it's important because I know what we are going into when we go into presentation mode. A lot of freakiness, a lot of things, and just a lot of them are really, really lame. So let's talk about a couple of points, five in particular, about how to do a presentation. Okay, how to present. Number one, pick topics you care about. Now, you're probably saying, well, Dale, that's really wonderful, but you just said my boss wants me to present on something. That's exactly what's happening to me. Okay, well, so you can't pick your topic. But let's back up for a minute. If you can pick your topic, if you're talking about something and they've asked you to make a presentation, an association or something at a meeting or the annual meeting, you want to get something that you care about. Pick something you care about, okay? Or something you're an have expertise in. If you cannot do that practically, find a reason to care. Okay? So still find something to care about. This is really, really, really critical because if you're talking about something you don't care about, it's going to show so painfully to everyone else. And then you're going to be one of these presenters up there reading PowerPoint slides and boring the daylights out of somebody else. If you absolutely have to talk about something you cannot stand talking about, here's my advice to you. Make it short. Get to the point, get out. But I think you can probably find a reason to care. For example, I had this situation one time where I was asked to present and was just saying this new system It was called the Link Monitoring System, and I was being asked to present it to different groups of people. And it wasn't the most exciting thing in the world. But what I tried to do was get down to the really basics, because I knew what I was presenting to was people that some of them were really, really powerful experts in this stuff, but they may not understand the big picture, which is really true of a lot of experts. They don't understand the big picture. And I also knew I was going to be presenting to some people that maybe didn't, you know, kind of had a very cursory knowledge of what I'm talking about. So they kind of needed to know what was going on too. So what I did is I went at it, and this is a great way if you're having to explain something. Think big picture. Think about it in a terms of how can I make grandma understand this I'm working on? And you may think, no, Dale, you don't understand my audience. They're a bunch of smart people in my company. No, I do understand your audience. That's what they want. When you present to me, as a matter of fact, I want you to get it. I want you to dumb it down. And in doing so, it becomes kind of fun if you can kind of think, okay, what's the key principles here? And this is what I was doing when I was presenting as a consultant on this link monitoring system thing I was doing. I tried to really get a couple of slides and graphics because I needed a visual that showed a network I was dealing with. And I tried to just show people what it meant. What does it look like? What does it do from a high level? That's all they needed to know. And it was really odd. You know, they weren't asking all these extremely detailed technical questions as I kind of thought they might have been. So I got well prepared for that because I was thinking, I'm going to dumb it down so much and I'm going to go in there, they're going to ask me, they're going to just drill me. But they didn't. Matter of fact, many people, even the experts, were coming up to me and saying, wow, that actually made sense. I never really thought about this in kind of the big picture point of view. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, so the expert is telling me thank you for explaining something to him that is where he's an expert. So find it, you know, and you can really have fun with that. So find ways to present it that makes it fun. And if you can't, or another way that helps to do this, if it's maybe not the thing you're passionate about, and I'd say do this anyway, relate personal stories to make it a point. To make the point, like I just told you, there's a personal story about me presenting a link monitoring system, right? I can't get the story wrong. You don't know if I got the story wrong. You don't know if I'm making the story up, right? But I'm relating what happened. You weren't there, so I'm relating what happened to me. I'm the expert on my story, and hopefully my story makes the point. And so what you want to try to do is find stories that are your stories because you know them. You remember them. You've experienced them. You don't have to have notes for them. You're not going to get the facts wrong for them. It's your story. And if you can do the story in such a way to make the point, people like that. People like for you to talk about yourself, as odd as that sounds. When you're up there, they want to hear stories about how you relate to stuff. So, you know, that's number one. Pick topics that you care about, and if you can't pick topics that you care about, find a way to care about them by relating personal stories or having fun with it. So the second thing is to prepare well. Now, this is the thing that will just kill nervousness. And you're going to be nervous when you prepare. But if you do prepare well, it kills nervousness. It does amazing things for getting you prepared. And you will begin preparation nervous and you may even, when you're practicing a talk to yourself, you may be sweating out of nervousness, even though nobody else is in the room because you're anticipating what's going to happen. And that's okay. But when you present, a lot of it's gone away because you've walked through it several times. Now, I'm going to say I'm one of the guilty people that when I say prepare well, this is do as I say, not as I do. I don't always prepare well. But some things not preparing well works for me, and sometimes it doesn't. But you know, but a lot of that's more experience. You know some things to say, and sometimes my preparing well is nothing but I'm driving down the road thinking through what I'm going to say, and that's my preparation. And I may even talk to myself saying what I'm going to say, and that's my preparation. If you don't do a lot of presenting, I don't recommend that approach. As a matter of fact, if you're kind of new and you're nervous, matter of fact, if you feel like you're not being an effective presenter, follow these little steps in preparing well. So part of preparing well, take a piece of paper, write down your intention in one word. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to inform? Are you trying to entertain? Are you trying to motivate? Or is there something else? But it's probably going to be one of those three: inform, entertain, or motivate. Probably for most of you, it's going to be inform. If you're a leader, it may be to motivate. Now, hopefully, you might can do all three. You might can inform, entertain, and motivate. Those would be great. But which one is the key? When I'm presenting Link Monitoring System, it's to inform. When I'm doing this podcast, it's to inform. Okay? Hopefully, I can motivate. Hopefully, we can be entertaining. When I'm presenting something, usually I'm in the inform world. If you're a comedian, you're obviously in the entertain world. But so you state your intention in one world. And I say that because you got to keep that in your frame of mind. Have that in the top of the paper. The main thing is to inform people. If I'm dry as dirt, I'm there to inform. Okay, the second thing of that, and this is all part of preparing well, is to draft the talk. Now, to do this, forget PowerPoint. I know many people who, when they start drafting a talk, the first thing they do is open up PowerPoint and they start typing stuff. No. Get away from your computer, get a pen and paper, and just write down 3 to 4 to 5 points. Okay? 3 to 5 points you're trying to make. What are the key points? And one great way to do this is to, if you can't come up with the key points, is to start writing down what questions do people ask about the subject you're presenting on. Okay? What questions do they ask? This is a great technique. You can sit there and just start. Dumb questions are fine, right? Because people ask dumb questions. So just start writing down the questions that they have. And you can, usually they, you know, fall into a category of 3 to 5 points, oddly enough. And I know on a Dale Carnegie, they have a program called Stand and Deliver. And I believe it's Dale Carnegie. But anyway, there's a program called Stand and Deliver. And that's one of their tricks, is when you're preparing a presentation, to write down 50-plus questions that people ask. And I've done this, but it's really weird. Those 50 questions tend to collapse into 3 to 5 points, maybe 7 or something. But and you notice I'm using odd numbers here, 3, 5, 7, which is, for some reason, that works well for people. But you kind of want to sum it down. You can't cover everything. What are the 3 to 5 key things people need to know? Now, most of us gloss over this and we start plowing on and we say, well, there's not 3 to 5. There's actually 17 or 18 or 19 or 20, and I got to get to all of them. And next thing you know, I've got 450 slides, and it's overwhelming. I promise you, when you write down 3 to 4 to 5 points, 3 to 5 points or 3 to 7 points at max, you're going to say, I don't have enough material. Don't worry about that. Okay. Write down 3 to 5 points and write them down very clear. Okay. Very, very clear. These are the three things, just like I'm doing here. You know, the first point here is to pick the topics you care about. Second is to prepare well. Third is I'm going to tell you what to do before the talk. Fourth, I'm going to tell you what to do during the talk. And fifth, I'm going to tell you about closing the talk. There's, you know, 5 key points in making a presentation. That's what you're talking about. And you've also noticed under each one of these points, I'm giving you some subpoints, and maybe too much for a presentation. But that's what you want to do, is you kind of want to say, okay, here's the points and here's the subpoints. Here's the points I want to make. Now, I will say again, you cannot dumb it down enough. Think about, if you're a fan of Dave Ramsey, baby steps. Dumb it down. People like dumb it down material. If you've ever, I mean, you've probably been to presentations, but I go to these academia presentations. I used to. I rarely do now, but where the first slide, people presenting off PowerPoint, of course, the first slide is their name and the title of their paper they're presenting. And I barely understand the title of their paper, okay? But I can kind of flow with it. I think I get the general gist. And the second slide is a bunch of mathematical equations. And this third slide is a bunch of mathematical equations. And the fourth slide is I'm going to sleep. And, I do not last long in those presentations. And even ones that aren't mathematical, they tend to go into theory and they get really deep and the slides have a whole bunch of bullet points and oh my gosh. But I remember watching one time a faculty member came in for a high-end faculty position. This guy was the world-renowned expert in power quality, and he was this guy. And I went to his presentation really expecting to be bored because this guy was an expert upon expert. And he explained power quality in something I cared about, talking about power glitches caused my computers and things to die. And he was speaking English. Now, he can obviously had the capability to get down to the mathematics and what was going on. But he talked about power quality in a way, and power quality is glitches in the power lines that make your computer go out. And that's what he talked about, things that I care about. He demonstrated great knowledge because he made it simple. And I appreciated it. And I remember thinking, so the key to being the great powerhouse knowledge person this guy was considered to be is to make the complex simple. So think about that. That's the people that we like, is those that can make the complex simple. So think about dumbing it down. Think about making each point actionable and understanding. Write out the points and the subpoints. And then as you do that, think about, just right over there, I can use this example. Like I just used the example of this PhD guy making this presentation. I can use this example. I can use this visual. I could, there's a chart that represents that. There's a pie chart that in one image, in one look at it, you get the point. There's this visual. And that's what you want. You don't want complex visuals. You want simple visuals. And it may be even a sentence, a powerful sentence. Like I'm saying here, prepare well. If I was doing this on stage, I might have a big screen that had, was red or black, and nothing was up there in massive font that said, prepare well. Because I want you to get that visually. I don't want you to get all these little PowerPoint, I mean, all these little other points I'm saying in PowerPoint. I want you to just know to prepare well, okay? Now, again, don't worry about using PowerPoint. The main thing is to just get down 3 to 4 points and then stand up and practice it. And really, this is, you can do this in a few minutes. And this was the way I would do it. Prepare. Here's how I would prepare. I would take a sheet of paper. I'm going to be talking about how to make a presentation. So, okay, here's kind of my thoughts. And I kind of write them out. No, I'd scribble. Okay, I'd play with it for a minute. And then I would get up and talk to myself as if I'm presenting it to the crowd. And I would adjust it as I'm doing it. Right? And my daughter used to do this, put a teddy bear in a chair if you have to. But I'm going to adjust it as I'm doing it to help me prepare. And as I'm doing it, I can find out, no, this is getting way too complicated. This is, no, this is off point. But you're kind of going it and you're doing it on the fly. And that works for me. Now, if you have to sit down and write down and do every point, that's fine too. But what you're kind of doing is practicing it, getting a feel for it. How will I explain this? Is it getting too complicated? And you're kind of practicing timing. Okay, timing is critical here. And by the way, when you do this, if you feel like you don't have enough material, perfect. Perfect. If you feel like you don't have enough material, then you're in great place. I almost every time to a T, if somebody stands up in front of a room and says, I really don't have a lot to say right now, that means they don't have enough material. It's amazing what happens. I can guarantee you, I look at my watch, or I don't wear a watch, but look at my iPhone and say, okay, this is going to be a long-winded presentation. Because every single time somebody says, I don't have much material, they drone on forever because they don't think they have enough, but they got way too much. And they're not on point. So you want to get point, subpoints, what you want to talk about. And then, and if you don't feel like you have enough, fine. Guess what? If you end a talk too soon, nobody's going to beat you up about that. Now, once practiced, then think about, and this is the way I like to do it. You practice and you make notes. Hey, this visual would work here. And you just kind of make notes on your little scribbly pad. And then go back and come up with visuals. And by the way, PowerPoint is not the only visual in the world. I know when I was at Dave Ramsey talk a couple of years ago, when he was talking about it's going to rain. You're talking about financially. It's going to rain. Trying to get people to have an emergency fund. And he says, it's going to rain. And he pulls out an umbrella and puts it over his head. You know, it's a powerful visual. It's going to rain financially. It wasn't PowerPoint. So think about other things that you can take that are visuals that you can just hold up in front of people and it becomes a visual. Okay, so that is everything about picking a topic, about preparing well. I've already given you an overview of what we're going to talk about, but that's the most point. The preparation is the key. But now you've prepared, you've got a topic, you're in the room, okay, and it's before the talk. And one of the things I like to do, and I might even say I'm getting in the car to go to the talk, think about all the things that could go wrong. If you have a PowerPoint, assume that it will not work. Assume that they don't have a projector. Assume that the lighting is bad. Assume all kind of things, okay? Assume you're talking without PowerPoint. Okay, so when you prepare for that. If you have another projector you can take, fine, you can take that, but if all goes south, you know, if you're on a computer and you're going to plug your computer in, assume you can't and you need a thumb drive and you need your presentation on a thumb drive also. So those are the kind of things that you want to just kind of be consciously prepared for. And I have had that happen many times. I've walked into a room and those kind of things happen, and you just have to always be prepared to talk with notes in hand if you have to. Even if those notes happen to be, I've done it a couple of times where I have nothing but my Evernote. I use Evernote and have it on the iPhone, and so I'm talking off my iPhone. And you know what? Sometimes that has turned out stunningly better than me using what I had planned to be in there with. So before the talk, you just prepare that all is going to go wrong. Visit the setting, walk around, walk to the point you're going to be speaking. Now, as you're a beginner or you're nervous, this is really important because you get comfortable with the setting. As you become more experienced, you're looking for other things. You're looking for how is the room laid out? Where are people sitting? How can I make the most impact? How can I communicate to people if it's a large room? So there's different views, but you want to know what your platform looks like, whether you're standing on a stage or you're standing up in front of a room or you're standing behind a podium, and you kind of want to set things up the way you want them. If you hate podiums and you want to get away from it, which would be my recommendation, then you know you kind of set things up and you kind of work with what looks like it's going to work for you. But don't worry about it. Don't worry about being perfect here. And if you're really nervous, it's a good idea is people start entering the room, you start meeting and chatting with people. And you kind of get to know some people, and that will help you kind of take some of your nerves off. Between you know your setting, you know you're prepared, and you've met some people, you know, you can start to breathe and relax a little bit. So that's before your talk. You just to be prepared for all those kind of things. Fourth is during the talk. Now, you've been introduced, and probably what most people are going to do is they're going to read a bio, short bio. By the way, that's something that you might have and take. I haven't mentioned that, but if you don't, you wing it. Many times they wing it, even if you give them something, so I wouldn't get too caught up in that. But during the talk, here's my thinking, and you've probably heard all these things about don't put your hands in the pocket, you know, don't walk around too much. Don't do too much arm waving. To be very careful that you wave your arms or use gestures at the right point. To not use ums and ahs. Forget it. Just forget all that garbage. You'll be so busy worrying, especially if you're not experienced or this is not something that you're comfortable doing. You'll be so caught up in all that garbage that it won't matter. You'll be so focused on that, your message will. Every professional speaker I know I mean, I'm talking about really high-end speakers. I will catch them saying ums and ahs. Now, it's not really a big deal, because what's stunning is these people is not that they're polished and they look like robots up there. What is stunning is that they seem like themselves. They seem like a human being. They seem normal, but they're speaking with passion. Okay? So that goes back to talk about something you care about. Forget all the rules. Just be yourself. Okay? If you're not as polished and as plastic as the last person, that's fine. And believe me, they look plastic. I remember being somewhere where somebody was, and he was presented as the Toastmasters talker. You know, he was, you know, well-known Toastmasters guy or something. And this is going to sound negative about Toastmasters, but it's not. But this guy had he was plastic. He went, here's what I'm going to tell you. Here's the 3 points, and I'm going to tell you what I told you. You know, that kind of logic. And all that works and all that makes sense, but he was so rigid in his Toastmastery style that, you know, I think the thing he had forgotten out of Toastmasters was to be himself. Very rigid. Now, was he a good presenter? Yeah, but he was so caught up in the Toastmastery perfect stuff. And it's not Toastmastery stuff, but you know what I mean. He was so caught up in the rules that he forgot to be him. So relax. Don't worry about it. Just talk. Cover the subject. Be positive. Don't be negative. You know, that's the one thing I say. Don't be up there and be negative. Don't stand up there and whine and complain about how you're nervous and things like that. Don't do that. Just be yourself. It's probably okay. People say, you know, don't get up there and say you're nervous. But it's okay. I don't think that's a big problem. I've seen people do it, and it actually helps me relate to them a little bit better. Yeah, I understand. They'll say, yeah, it's kind of nerve-wracking being in front of a group of people like this. And if you do it in such a way that that makes it relaxing to people. You know, I made a presentation not long ago, and I was telling them, you know, I started it out as the last day I was teaching a course in random variables and stochastic processes, and you may not know what that is, but that was my point. I said, now at the last day of the course, I stood before the people and I came in and said, if I can get through this one last day, I will have fooled these people that I know what I'm talking about. And I had kind of gone through the story about how I didn't really understand the topic I was teaching. You know, and I said, now I feel that way here with you. If I can just get through this. Now, it was silly a little bit, and it was kind of lighthearted and tongue-in-cheek and self-deprecating behavior or whatever you want to say. But it was also a warm-up to get people to relate to me, because I wasn't trying to stand up there and be the all-knowing, the all-powerful person. I was trying to say, look, I'm a guy who barely understands this stuff, and you're a bunch of people who barely understand it, but I'm going to present you what I think. And people relate to that. Now, I could have got up there and said, hey, I'm really nervous and I'm really scared. You know, and that I don't think that would have been as effective. But that's basically what I was saying. Hey, I'm nervous, and I wasn't nervous in terms of being in front of people. It was I'm nervous that I'm not going to effectively deliver you what you want. And that's what I was saying. But point is, during the talk, be yourself. If there's nothing else that you remember here, prepare and be yourself. Okay? There's nothing else that's really that mattered, but at this point you must be yourself. Now, on the last thing, how do you close your talk? And this is point number 5. You know, because we've gone through all this stuff. We've gone through picking your topics you care about, preparing well before the talk what to do, during the talk what to do. Now you got to close it. Now, the closing, to me, is the most important part of the talk. People say you need a powerful opening and a powerful closing. I think a powerful closing is the key. You can kind of stumble into an opening and be okay. As a matter of fact, that might even be powerful if you do it right. But the closing, 2 key points. Close it on time or short of time. Don't go over. And deliver your closing and say thank you. find a closing thing, and don't add to it. Don't keep rambling. This is, I see people do this all the time. And I've done this. You come to a close and you just keep rambling and you keep rambling because you don't know where to end. You don't have an end. So in your closing, and this is something I forgot to mention in the prepare, write out the closing sentence or sentences. Think of something very powerful that sums up your message and close it and remember that if you can. Now, I don't always do this that well, but sometimes when I'm going into a situation where I'm talking about something I don't know as well, I will write out the closing. So when I get to that point in the talk and the time is up, I deliver that closing and say, thank you for your time. And that's what people are going to remember. Now, if you need to say after that, you know, because people might clap. People might give you a standing ovation. People might walk out of the room. You don't know what will happen. But after that point in time, if there's a moderator or somebody who's controlling the meeting, they might say, are there any questions? Let them take over. Let them take back control. If it's just you, you can say, do we have any time for any questions? Or, hey, I'll take a few minutes of questions and then take a minute or two of questions and then say I'll hang around in the back, you know, to answer questions. You don't want to keep everybody there while the people are asking questions either. Because closing your message on time is one way to be liked. And going over time, no matter how powerful it is one way to not be liked. So just some key points there. Again, pick your topic you care about. Prepare well before the talk. Get used to the settings. During the talk, be yourself. Close it on time and say thank you. And now that we've closed this show, I hope this is powerful. I hope this is useful to you. And I mean in sincerity, try some of this. I do a lot of talks. I enjoy talking. And as a matter of fact, I'm probably much better in a group than I am on a radio or a TV or anything else. Being in front of a group of people is one of the most fun things I do. I think it's one of the most effective things I do. Now, it may not be the most effective to you, but that's okay. You can still do a powerful job of it. I can show you, if you want to know examples of people who are paid professionals who make all these mistakes we're talking about, I can give them to you, including me. But this is not that hard, and you really, it's kind of like making comments to blogs or making comments on Amazon books. So few people speak up. So few people speak up in public presentations. You can be one of them. So we thank you for the time in this today. I thank you for participating. You can, again, this is on Christian Freedom Network, the Blog Talk Radio, on their channel on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for listening there, or if you're listening on iTunes. And if you can give feedback to the Christian Freedom Network and send them an email. I'm not sure there's another feedback mechanism. Send them an email. Let them know, where if this is at the wrong time or something, let them know. For iTunes, please give us a rating. Please go over there. If you like the show, if you found this useful, give it a rating. I mean, and make some comments. Make your voice heard, not only for my show, but for others. Make your voice heard. You can visit me on the website. If you have questions, as a matter of fact, if you want to go to my website at dalecallahan.com, you can leave a message there on my speak pipe. You can sit there and leave a message right at your computer screen. You can send an email or hit me over Twitter or Facebook or whatever if you have questions, especially if you have questions you want to address during the show. I address many of them through email directly or through talking to people on the phone or in person sometimes. So please do register. And I'm going to ask you specifically for something to this today. I'm going to ask a specific favor for you to step out and make a comment. Come to the podcast on dalecallahan.com and make a comment. Now, the comment I would like you to make is about public presentations. What is your experience? Don't worry about saying something pithy or saying something powerful or saying something. Just tell me, what was your experience? And where are you at now? Do you feel fear? Do you feel like you're boring? Do you feel, what's your problem or what keeps you awake at night, as we might say, before making a presentation? And where do you think you can best improve in making a presentation? Do step out, make a comment. I'm not really looking to make general massive comments and make you into a blog commenter, but I am asking you to do that today. Thank you very much for your time. Hopefully, you're going to have a wonderful rest of the week. And once you find that one